All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam Yudit Ben Zev, for dedicating all the Shiurim and Droshos of this month to Le'ilui Nishmas, Adam's grandfather, Moshe David Ben Shalom, in honor of his grandmother, Helen Nachman, and his parents, Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May Hashem grant them Arichos Yomim V'Shanim. All right, so with that, let's begin. We have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Yud Beis. We are picking up on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 11b. Did we stop at the two dots, or we went a little bit past the two dots? I think we started a little bit, right? Just, what was it? My Kamash Molon. My Kamash Molon. Okay, perfect. So again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, just remember again, the Mishnah had a statement. So the Mishnah said, Pa'amayim hi tzricha libdok. So let's remember again. So the Mishnah said that, and remember the context that we're dealing with, of course, is all in Taras. So at the end of the day, twice a day she has to do bedikas, once in the morning, once in the evening. We then had Rabbi Huda said in the name of Shmuel, that Allah Alamaisa, these bedikas were for Taras, but not ultimately, again, for her husband. To which Rabbi Yehuda ultimately qualified this in the name of Shmuel, who said that essentially, we'll say the Mishnah is telling us an incredible halacha. Under normal circumstances, a woman doesn't have to do bedikas before having relations with her husband, although we're going to talk about that more today. The novelty of the Mishnah is that once she is doing bedikos for the sake of taros, so we'll go ahead and have her do bedikos before she is with her husband as well. That's the novelty. To which the Gemara says, "My kamash malon, Tanina." We'll say, what's the chiddush of that? After all, and therefore again, the converse would also be true. Therefore, if she's not dealing with taras, then halacha lemaisa, there would be no obligation to go ahead and do bedikas prior to being with her husband. To which the Gemara says, well, what's the chiddush? We learned, because also remember again, the Mishnah says that every woman in general has a cheskas tara. And again, we'll define the scope of this statement, but in general, we would assume that a woman has a cheskas tara. Therefore, halacha lemaaseh, in general, there is no obligation to do a bedika prior to being with her husband. And the only time that there is an obligation to do a bedika is when she's already doing bedikas for taras. Then we'll say, once you're doing bedikas for taras, halacha lemaaseh, you should do bedikas before bia as well. Ibn Masnisin, Hava mina hani mili bi isha sheish lavesas. So say, if it would have just been from the Mishnah, I would have said, when is a woman not obligated to do bedikas prior to being with her husband? That's when she has a vesas. Hava isha she'in lavesas baya bedika. But a woman who doesn't have a vesas, perhaps again, she should be obligated to do a bedika. We'll say now the hava mina is do a bedika every time before relations. The Gemara says, but the Mishnah is dealing with a woman who does have a Vesas, and yet the Mishnah is saying that halacha lemaisa, once she's doing bedikas for taras, she has to do bedikas for her husband as well. Truth is, the Mishnah is speaking about both types of women. And I will say the novelty of the Mishnah is, even though she has a Vesas, and I will say because she has a Vesas, because she has a regular cycle, so we would therefore, again, what we would be tempted to say, that because she has a Vesas, therefore I will say, there's no absolutely no need for her to do any kind of bedika prior to relations. Migo de baya bedika lataras, baya nami bedika labayla. So again, it appears that the great novelty of our Mishnah is as follows. Once she is doing regular bedikas, ultimately again for taras, which remember again, how many times a day for taras? Pamayim, once in the morning, once in the evening. Once she's already been doing bedikos for that reason, the Mishnah's idea seems to be, we're going to make her do bedikos prior to, before and after relations as well. Who is this referring to? This is referring to all women, even a woman who has a Veses Kavua. So we'll say this seems to be just almost like another layer of Chumrah for a woman ultimately who is engaging in Taras. But the inference of this would be that what? That if a woman is not involved in Taras, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, there would be no obligation for any type of bedikos before and after Bia. But Shmuel already spoke about this once before. Isha she'in la veses, Asru l'shamish achetivdok. Shmuel said that what? That a woman who doesn't have a vasas is prohibited to engage in relations with her husband until she does a bedika. V'okimvan, we establish this as dealing with what? Ba'osekes b'taras. As a woman who's dealing with taros. Only once she is obligated to do bedikos for taros, will we make her obligated to do bedikos, ultimately again before relations with her husband. To which the Gemara says, Chada michlal chaverta itmar. Okay, even though it's a bit repetitive, one was learned out from the other. Right, so that supports this as well. When is this true that she has to do bedikos before and after bia? Litaros. Avala baila, I'm sorry. When is it true that she has to do bedikos? Litaros. Avala baila muteres. But to her husband, she is permitted to her husband even without bedikos. So the Gemara says, Bamedram, when is this true? So now, let's just pause here for just a moment, because actually this price is going to go down a little bit of a different path. So what we have so far is as follows. It appears that the conclusion of the Gemara is that whether a woman has a veses kavua or a veses she'ina kavua, remember again, we've spoken about the concept of a regular cycle, irregular cycle. We haven't really defined the scope of that yet. We'll do that at Meretz Hashem in coming days. But it appears that in general, the halacha would say that whether a woman has a veses kavua, veses she'ina kavua, she does not have to do bedikos before and after relations with her husband. What's the logic behind that? We'll actually see that explicitly in today's daf, because imkein yehe libo nokfo. It's going to cause intimacy anxiety, right? If a husband is worried that his wife is anida, he's going to be nervous about being with her. So we'll see that in just a little bit. It appears that the only time that bedikos, before and after relations, come up is when, once a woman is already performing regular bedikos. Regular bedikos for what? For taros. Once she's already performing the twice a day bedikos for taros, then it appears when she's doing it for that, so halacha l'maisa will say that, you know what, do the bedikos before and after bia as well. So I said, listen to this last b'raisa. Tanya namach b'raisa that supports this as well. When is this so? Letaros. Aval l'bayla mutaros. When is this true that she has to do bedikos? On a daily basis, that's for taros. But in terms of her husband, she does not require bedikos. When is that true? Medram murim. Shenicha b'cheskas tara. So we'll say, so now, the Bryce is actually introducing something a little bit different, which we'll get into. So we'll say, so let's say a husband goes away and he comes home. So we'll say, Salocha l'maisa, does she have to do a bedika prior to being with him again? So ultimately, so it sounds like what it's saying over here is that Allah l'maisa, if when he left, she was b'cheskas tara, then when he comes back, he's permitted to have relations with her. Aval hinicha b'cheskas tmeya. But if when he left, she had a chazaka that she was tmeya, ultimately, again, she remains in her state of tumah until she definitively tells him, I am tahora. So I'll say, we'll see, we're going to define the scope of that case in a little bit. Top of Yud Beis and Adaf. We'll see, you'll see that it'll become clear what exactly it means. He's taking leave of her. She's coming back. Why do you have to rely on any kind of chazaka, right? You must remember again, when do you rely on chazaka? When do you rely on chazaka? When you can't necessarily totally clarify the circumstances. Here, there's a very easy way for her to clarify her circumstances. If she is Tahora or Temeya, ask her, or let her do a bedika. Why are you relying on Chazaka? We'll see the scope of this case. Top of your base. We're both saying, an incredible case. Isha, ma'usha tivdok labayla. So now the Gemara asks a very interesting case, which is so important. You'll see why beyond the scope of the stated question, there's an incredible like hashkafas achaim question over here as well. So Rabbi Zira asked Rabbi Yehuda, what happens if a woman wants to do bedikas prior to being with her husband? This is her thing. She wants to be very careful in the halachos of nida, so she wants to do bedikas prior to being with her husband. So Rabbi says, can she do that? Again, we'll say, to be clear, this is not a case of taras. Not a case of taras, just a pious woman. So we'll say, what happens? Amrlei said to him, Lov tivdok. Nope, she shouldn't do it. She shouldn't do it. So says the Gemara, tivdok umabakach. Why not? In other words, why would you tell her not to do it? Let her do it. To which the Gemara says, imkein libo nokfo uporish. Because they will say, ultimately, again, if she's always checking and always concerned that she's a nida, what's going to happen? Libo nokfo means it's going to be repulsive to the husband. And ultimately, again, he's going to separate from her. The idea being that if she creates anxiety around intimacy, that she's always worried that she's a nida, then halacha l'maisa, that is just going to take away from any ability for a husband and wife wife to forge a meaningful intimate bond. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yehuda paskins, she should not do these extra bedikos. And I will say, by the way, in general, so that's halacha lemaisra, and we'll see how that translates into halacha in different ways. So another case. Isha, ma'usha tivdok atzma kashir vesas. Kedei lachayev baila chatos. So we'll say a very interesting case here. What happens? So we'll say, we're going to get into the interesting topic of dam machmas bia. So we'll say, if let's say a couple has relations and a woman sees blood, or for that matter, even the man sees blood, right after relations. So we'll say, that is a problematic situation. We're going to define the scope of it because not every situation is problematic, but it could be a problematic situation that creates ultimately a nida reality for the woman. Why would it create a nida reality for the woman? Because we'll say there's a concern that maybe it's uterine blood, maybe ultimately it's dam nida, and maybe she actually even had a hargasha, right? We spoke about hargasha a little bit, right? Hargasha on a basic level is the concept of psichas pia makar, the opening of the uterus, where ultimately, again, she feels the blood coming out. And maybe there was a hargasha, but the hargasha was masked by the sensation of the bia. So maybe ultimately, again, we're dealing with a real case of nida da'oraisa. So dam machmas tashmish, dam machmas bia is a very significant case. Again, we'll give it its due time and understand it. But right now, what the Gemara is asking is as follows. Should a woman check herself? Kashir veses, in this case, means immediately after bia. Immediately after relations. What would be the advantage of going out and checking herself immediately after relations? Sahalocha lemaisa, kedei lechayiv baila chatos. Because we'll say if she checks herself, kashir vesas means immediately, literally immediately after the bia is done. Then here, if you look at Rashi says kashir vesas miyad ula achar biila bechatos kedarmina lekama perbeis nimsa asadin shalah asyom kilomar miyad laachar biila hayavin carbon. So we'll say, so the idea would be if she checks herself immediately after the bia and there's blood, that tells us that the blood was present at the time of the bia, which then means that her husband was accidentally boel anida, which I will say would be, if done b'mezid, it's a chiyuv karis, right? If done shogeg, it's a chiyuv chatos. So should she check herself immediately after bia in order to know if her husband is chayv chatos or not? Amar lei, mi mishkachas la labdika kashir vases. Is it really possible for a woman to go ahead and check herself immediately after bia? V'hatanya, ezo shir v'ases. What does it mean to be immediate? Mashal l'shamish ve'ed omid b'tzad hamashkov. B'yitzias hashamish nichnas eid havi v'ases. Nichnas eid. So the idea of here is, what does immediate mean? Immediate in this context means that literally once the husband withdraws, she goes ahead and inserts the bedika cloth to do the bedika. Thank you. So again, that level of immediacy we would generally assume does not occur. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Veses Sha'amru Likinuach Velo Lebedika. So the truth is, in this context, she actually does not need a bona fide bedika. She doesn't need a regular bedika. I will say again, we saw already in the beginning of the perek that the concept of a bedika is bedika schorin nustakin. The idea is that a woman inserts the bedika cloth inside of her, and there is a thorough internal examination. For dam machmas tashmish, one does not require a thorough bedika; rather, one only requires a kinuach. Kinuach means a wiping. That could be done immediately after the bia. Elamau shetzikaneach. So we'll say, so the shaila is, should she go ahead and do this wiping, do this checking immediately after bia or not? Se'ike da amri hachi. Others have a different version of this discussion. So we'll say, in the first version of this discussion, so the shaila ultimately is, halacha lemaisa, should a woman do this examination? Again, it's not a bediga, but rather it's what's called a kinuach, a wiping, immediately after bia. And we'll say, what would be the advantage of doing it immediately? To see if her husband is chay v'chatos. Because if she finds blood right there immediately after the bia, that tells us that the blood was there during the bia as well, which means the husband was accidentally with his wife who is a nida. That's a chiyuv chatos. Seikida amri hachi. Others have a different version of this. Boimine. Isha, Maushe tivdok atzma kedei lechayev baila asham taloi. So both say, so others have a different version, that the shayla is not really a chatos, the shayla is an asham taloi. Which I will say, what's the mile of this version? See, when do you bring a chatos? When do you bring a chatos? Well, so we know we're an expert in all of these things, right? We finished Seder Kachim. So I will say, so you bring a chatos when you know definitively that you have violated something b'shogeg, that had you done it intentionally would be a chiyuv kares. Asham taloi is when you're not sure. So the ikadami, the other version of this is, I will say, even if she wipes immediately after bia and finds blood, can you say with absolute certainty that that blood was there at the time of the bia? Can't say with absolute certainty. So really the shayla is, not that she would be mechayif her husband, the chatos, but better say that she would be mechayif her husband and asham taloi. Right? A carbon brought for a possible infraction. Amar lo, so we'll say either way the bottom line is, he answered, lo tivdok. No, she should not do such a bediga. Ay, v'tivdok umabekach. Let her check. Why would you say not to check? Well, why not? Imkain libo nokfo uporish. Because we'll say at the end of the day, what's going to happen? Libo nokfo means he's going to be repulsed. He's going to be repulsed, and he's going to separate from her. We'll say, see, you see, by the way, this incredible idea. In general, we find this in Hilchos Nida, that as serious as Hilchos Nida is, we try very carefully not to pile on too many chumras by Hilchos Nida, because Halach Lamaisei governs such an important aspect of marital life. And if it becomes too much, ultimately, again, it could become a source of incredible tension and ultimately disconnect between a husband and a wife. So on one hand, we want to balance the need to be very careful and meticulous with the details of the halacha, but at the same time, not to create a situation where there's so much anxiety revolving around it that a couple gives up on intimacy. Incredible halacha. Good. Ubisha Shio Veris. Well, so remember again, so the Mishnah said, again, all quoting the same Mishnah. This is towards the last part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Mishnah. Sorry. B'shashi overes, l'shamish besa, right. B'shashi, so we'll say, so now the Mishnah said, remember, context of our Mishnah, a woman who's doing betikas, ultimately, again, for taras purposes. So he said, pa'amayim tzricha lios bodeka shachar sabin hashmashos. She has to do a betika twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. U'b'shashi overes, l'shamish besa. And when she's going to have relations with her husband. So I say, so the Mishnah again says that there's an obligation for betika prior to relations. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Vizeu, Idan Shel Tsinuos. I will say this is considered to be the aid. Aid, by the way, is another name for a bedika cloth, right? Aid normally means a witness. Bedika cloth is a witness to what's happening with her. So the Rabbi Yanai says, this bedika that she does prior to being with her husband, this is the bedika of the Tsinuos, of the very modest women. Tani tsnuos. So we'll say, when you say something, that this is the bedika, right? That the tsnuos are the ones who do the bedika when they're handling taras. They're doing a bedika one in the morning, one in the evening. And the tsnuos do what? They do a bedika before they're with their husband. So we'll say, when you say that, what does that make it sound like? Right? That it's something like, it's an additional level of piety, right? It's a chumrut, it's a tsnuos. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, that's not what the Mishnah says. The Lashon of the Mishnah is, B'shashi overes l'sham mitzis, which Shemosei sounds like it's an obligation. It's not an extra maila. Amar le shani omer, kol nakayim direch hachamim nikret sanua. But it is actually very interesting, because he says, the truth is, I mean, it's nuos in this context. I mean, anyone who follows the words of the chachamim, ultimately, again, is called a sanua, is called someone who is modest. See, Rabbi say, this is also an incredible idea. Why would you be called a tsanua if you follow the words of the Chachamim? So if you think about this, Rabbi say, sometimes it's a challenge to follow the words of Chazal, right? Because we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his Torah, he gives us the halacha, the rabbis come along, right, and tell us what we're supposed to do. So we'll say, so sometimes there's a desire to be a little bit arrogant and to think that I know better than everyone else, right? So modesty is a din, not just, you know, we often associate modesty with mode of dress, which is true, that's one of the manifestations of modesty. But a more important manifestation of modesty is a concept of humility. So whoever goes ahead and listens to the words of Chazal is called the tzanua, is called the modest, humble individual. So therefore, again, the bedikah is absolutely obligatory, but lamaisa is called tzanuos, because whoever listens to the words of Chazal is called the tzanua. Beautiful. Amar Rava, the she'eno makayim divrei chachamim tzanuhu d'lo mikri. So I say, Rava says, let me ask you, and if you don't uphold the words of Chazal, is it just that you're not called the tzanua? Harasha lo mikri, so but you won't be called the rasha. So what Rav is saying over here is, you know, be careful with the use of the word sanua, because whenever you use the word sanua, it makes it sound like you're doing something very nice above and beyond. And if you don't do it, it's okay also. So if you listen to the words of chachamim, you're a sanua. If you don't listen to the words of the chachamim, you're not a sanua. It's not true. If you don't listen to the words of the chachamim, says the gemara, you are rasha. Ava amar Rava, tznuos ad shebatku bo. Excuse me. Amar Rava. Rava says different. Tznuos aid shebatku bo atzman lifnei tashmish ze ein bot gos bo lifnei tashmish acher. So both say Rava says like this. The truth is there's an obligation. The Mishnah is espousing an obligation, not the chumrah. That Allah said, we've already established this fact that if a woman is already doing bedikos for taras, we're going to make her do bedikos prior to being with her husband as well. So that we've established. So what's the extra level over here? The tznuos rabosai would not reuse the same bedika cloth. The tznuos, if they use the bedika cloth for one bedika, ultimately again will not use it for another bedika. And I will say, so let's talk about this in just a moment. So first of all, it's hard for us to appreciate these things because we live in a disposable society, right? Everything is throwaway. So I will say, in a non-disposable society, let's say a woman did a bedika, and the bedika was clear. It was nothing there. Technically speaking, she could reuse that bedika cloth. There's absolutely no problem with it. The tznuos would not reuse bedika cloths. They wouldn't do it. They felt that even if there was nothing on the cloth, it could still potentially obscure a future bedika. Therefore, they would never reuse it. She'enon snuos, botkos, v'lo ichpas lahen. And the women who were quote-unquote the non-snuos would reuse bedika cloths. Rabbi say, is there anything wrong with reusing clean bedika cloths? No. The snuos had this extra level of chumrah that they would not reuse it. Good. Gufa Amr Rabbi Zera, Amr Rabbi Abba, Amr Rabbi Yemi, Amr Shmuel. But say, this is a wild Gemara. Actually, no, not yet. It's not so wild yet. Sorry. Right, this is mild. This is mild. We'll get to wild. So the Gemara says as follows. Amr Shmuel, Isha Shein Laveses, Asura, sorry. I promise you, it'll get wild. Asura L'shamesh, Ad Shetivdok. So we'll say, so now comes along Shmuel and says as follows. A woman who does not have a Veses, which means a woman who does not have a regular cycle, is prohibited to engage in relations until she does a bedika. So we'll say, so now this is actually quite interesting. Because up until now, here's what we've established. We've established that Allah Chalmai, a woman has to do twice daily bedikas for taras. Okay? We've established that under normal circumstances, a woman doesn't have to do bedikas prior to relations with her husband. We also established that once she's doing bedikas for taras, she should do bedikas ultimately before she's with her husband. Comes along Shmuel and introduces now a new halacha, which is, if a woman does not have a regular cycle, she absolutely should do, she needs to do a bedika before she's with her husband. So we'll say, so the concern is she doesn't have a regular cycle. Halacha lemaisa, how is she going to know what's going on? She needs to do a bedika prior to being with her husband. Amar le Rabbi Zila Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya, ein laveses baya bedika, yesh laveses lo baya bedika. Are you telling me that a woman who doesn't have a veses is the one who requires a bedika, but a woman who does have a veses does not require a bedika? Amar le yesh laveses. So we're to listen to this. Amar le, it depends. Yesh laveses ara baya bedika. If she has a veses, Rabosai, I'll translate it and then I'll explain it. If she has a veses and she's awake at the time of relations, then ultimately, again, yesh la veses ara baya bedika. Then ultimately, she requires a bedika. Yeshena lo baya bedika. If she's asleep, she doesn't require bedika. Rabosai, now I want to say something very important. The halacha is, a man, it is usher for a man to have relations with his wife while she is asleep. Right? We're going to learn that sugya, Rabosai. What the Gemara is talking over here is in the abstract, and you're going to see why we're even bringing up a case of a sleep in just a moment. So we'll say now, what? So listen to this distinction over here. So the Gemara wants to suggest that with a woman who has a veses, if she's awake, she requires a bedika. If she's asleep, she doesn't require a bedika. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. This is incredible. So the Gemara says, Ara, dechazia la'asuke betaris, baya bedika labaila. So also listen to this. If the woman is awake, when she's awake, she's capable of handling taris. If she's capable of handling taris, then halach, so also, what the Gemara is saying is like this. If she's capable of handling taris, then what? Then see, she's subject to the laws of taris. What are the laws of taris? What are the laws of taris? That just like she's doing twice daily bedikos for taros, therefore she requires a bedika prior to being with her husband. Inami deleka tircha letzaura aval yishena ikat sara velo atrichul rabbanan inami yishena lochaz letaros afil rgila asabot taros labai bedika. So this is fascinating. So we'll say, so the Gemara is saying over here, we're gonna refine this a little bit, that halacha lemaase like this. Let's follow the train of thought over here. Shmuel says that if a woman doesn't have a vezes, she requires a bedika before relations. To which Rabbi Zeira says back to him, I don't understand. If she doesn't have a vezes, she requires a bedika. If she does have a vezes, she doesn't require a bedika. So we'll say, so remember, Rabbi Zeira doesn't understand that. Rabbi Zeira says, our Mishnah is dealing with a case of a woman who has a vezes kavua, who has an established cycle. Yet the Mishnah says that halacha lemaisa, she is obligated to do a bedika prior to relations. To which the Gemara then explains, you're right, it depends. If she has a veses, so we'll listen to the first construct. If she has a veses, when she is awake, quote unquote, she's obligated to do a bedika prior to relations. Why? Because when she's awake, she's capable of what? Dealing with taras. Therefore, she's in the category of taras, and therefore requires a bedika. If she's asleep, where again, she's not in the parasha of dealing with taras, therefore no bedika is required, ultimately again, before relations. Ein la veses, what happens if she doesn't have a veses? Bein ara, bein yeshena, baya bedika. So I'll say, if she doesn't have a veses, then whether she's awake or whether she's asleep, ultimately again, she requires a bedika. Amar Rava. Valeimalei yesh la veses letaras baya bedika lebaya lebala lo baya bedika. So let's say, why don't you say like this? Rav should say like this: if she has a veses, then taras, for taras she requires a bedika, but for a husband she should never require a bedika. Ain lo veses, but if she doesn't have a veses, afilo lebaila nami baya bedika. But if she doesn't have a veses, then I will say then that's the case. You should say that she should be required to do a bedika both for taras and for her husband. Umidlo amar lehach. In the fact that we didn't make this distinction, shmamina kasaver Shmuel kol lebaila lo baya bedika. But also the fact that we did not make this distinction, Shmuel clearly holds that halacha lemaisa for her husband any time. Shmuel holds that a woman need not do bedikos prior to being with her husband. So again, what we begin to see over here is as well, same concept that we reinforced beforehand, which is that in general you see a reluctance on Chazal to mandate bedikos prior to relations as a result of the negativity that can engender. Further on this topic, Tan Rabbanon, Chamar Nupolin Abayim Mibeis HaAvel Mibeis HaMishta. So this is an interesting case. So Chamarin are donkey drivers, Polin are workers. So what's I say? The Gemara, remember, this goes back to our Ksuvas days, where the Gemara explains every husband has an obligation of Ona, has an obligation ultimately, again, of marital relations to his wife. So we'll say, so depending on what you do for a living determines the frequency in which you are obligated to perform that duty. So the Gemara says, here we're talking about Chamarin and Polin, who bought Beis Eil Beis HaMishta. They're coming home late. Now, interesting, they're coming home late from where? From the Beis Avel or from a wedding? Okay, social gatherings, right? They're coming home late. So what happens? We'll say, what's Talacha? Nesheyem Lahem Becheskas Tara. Ultimately, again, their wives have a Cheskas Tara to them. The Cheskas Tara, Ubain Vishoen Imayen, Bain Yeshenos, Bain Oros. And they have the ability to be with them. So we're going to see what this Lashon means. Bain Vishoen Imayen. They have the ability to go ahead and Shoen literally means like spend time. We'll see what that Lashon means in just a moment. Whether they are awake or asleep. So also remember again, the asleep piece we're going to qualify. When is this true? Shenichan Becheskas Tara. So we'll say, so essentially what the Gemara seems to be describing over here is that a husband has the ability to assume that his wife is Tahora, assuming that what? When he left, she was Tahora. But if when he left the house last time, she was V'cheskas Tmeah, ultimately, again, she is in a status of Tameh until she tells him, I am Tahora. I, Vaha Shmuel, b'may mukila. But how would Shmuel set up this case? So I'll say, if it's a case where she has a veses, then what do you do with the case of when she's awake? And if she doesn't have a veses, kashin bein ara bein yeshena, to which the Gemara says, the olam b'shiyesh la veses. But I'll say, listen to this. So therefore, what's the case we're dealing with over here? The woman in this situation has a veses. B'chevan shetava. And since Rabbi say, ultimately, Rabbi say, so the assumption over here is that when a man is away for some amount of time, so he doesn't just come home and have relations with his wife, but instead, again, he has to speak with her first. Right? Shabbos says, so it's good. It's good Shalom Bayis. Good Shalom Bayis advice. Right? Shabbos says, so ultimately what that means, he's going to converse with her. He's going to talk with her. In other words, there'll be a mood of intimacy that is established before, ultimately, as relations with her. Ein lecha bedika gedola mizo. That is the greatest bedika. Look at Rashi. What does that mean? Ein lecha bedika gedola mizo. Di ilokim la de tahorehi hava batka o bedika de kamashmuel el betviya sagi v'libi megamim. So we'll leave that libi megamim out. We'll say, so Rashi says over here that Allah says, since they're going to be conversing, that gives her time before the bia. If she was not 100% sure that she was tahora, then what? She would do a bedika. But the fact that she has this time before the bia, again, allows her to be clear on her status. And therefore, again, if she's clear on her status, she need not do a bedika. So the Gemara says, so this, by the way, this introduces something incredible over. So there's a lot of stuff happening over here. So first of all, so far what we have is like this. We have our bedikas for taros. We've seen the concept that halacha lemaisa, once you're doing a bedika for taros, then what? She's going to do a bedika lebaila. That we've seen. We've seen, however, though, that's only she's already doing a bedika for taros. But in general, we see a school of thought that says, we don't want women doing bedikas before and after bia. Why? Because halacha lemaisa imkein libo nokfo uporish, it's going to cause strain and it's going to lead to a breakdown of intimacy. Yet at the same time, we see a statement ultimately again of. We see a statement of Shmuel, and Shmuel said that if a woman doesn't have a veses, ultimately, again, she needs to do a bedika before bia. And I will say, we're not finished that. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Then we see, again, then we have a discussion. Is that just a veses? Shmuel's talking about a veses she'ina kavua. Woman's not kavua. She has to do a bedika, but she has to do a bedika before bia. So what about a woman who does have veses kavua, doesn't have veses kavua? Now they're going to introduce us to a new concept, which is that essentially, if there's a lead up to the bia, and there's a time for husband and wife where they're talking. There's time for her to think about things. I mean, to think about her state. Then halacha lemaisa, that takes the place of a bedika. This is quite fascinating. So ultimately, again, that lashon over here of tava. That's a kevan shetava. Tava means that they're talking before the bia. That gives her a chance to think about her state. If she's not sure, she could do a bedika then. But ultimately, again, if she is sure, she need not do a bedika. So we'll say this is introducing now a bedika alternative. What's the bedika alternative? Thought. Taking time to think about her status prior to the bia. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Rava, Ma Le'Me'Avad Ki Amas Nisa. So Rav Papa said to Rava, could we paskin like this? Could we replace the bedika with thought? And just as long as she has time before the actual act of relations to give some thought to her status, and she could ascertain that she is definitely tahora, that could obviate the need for any kind of bedika. Amud Beis, Amar Lei, Sudni. So he said to him, Talmud Chacham. Sudni is another name for a Talmud Chacham. Sudni, lo, the magnia ba'ape. So what's the look at Rashi? Lo, ba'ya badika. We revert back to what we said before. So Rabbi says, remember again, this is Rapapa asking Rava. Rava said back to Rapapa, Tamut Chacham. That's Rabbi says, he means it as a compliment. Tamut Chacham, I've already told you, no bedikas prior to bia. So in general, we get rid of the concept of doing bedikas prior to bia. Why? Because ultimately, again, we're concerned that it's going to cause a certain level of repulsiveness in the eyes of the husband. So you keep seeing, we keep going back. So remember, we still have Shmuel. And we'll say we're not finished with Shmuel's idea, because Shmuel's issue of a bedika by a woman who does not have a veses kavua is going to be a very serious one that we're going to consider. But again, you begin to see this pushback against this bedika prior to biyah because of really the catastrophic impact it could have on a couple's intimacy. We'll say this is not the wild Gemara yet, but it's getting there. Watch this. Amrav Kana, we'll say this is kind of wild. Amrav Kana, Shaltinu le'inshi beisei d'rapapa v'draf huna b'rei d'rav Yoshua. So listen to this. Shrav Kahana said, I asked the wives of Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'rei d'rav Yoshua. Ki asu rabbanan mi bei Rav. When your husbands come home from the yeshiva. And I want to say, so remember again, the model that they're using over here is that husbands would go to yeshiva for the week and come home on Shabbos. The owner of a Talmud Chacham, right? The owner of a Talmud Chacham, ultimately, again, is on Shabbos night, is on Friday night. So Rav Kahana said, I asked the wives of Rav Papa and Rav Huna, when your husbands come home on Shabbos, for Shabbos, matzi l'chu bedika. Do they require you to do a bedika prior to relations? So Rav says, you have to understand something. So to us, right, this sounds like wild, right? You know, one of the things that we know that is so important in Hilchos Nida is the concept of tznius in Hilchos Nida as well. So you have to understand something. Hilchos Nida has so dramatically changed over the years. So today, remember, the only ramification we have in Hilchos Nida is vis-a-vis a couple's intimacy. But remember, again, I both say, we're going to see that there were times where a woman who was in Nida during her Shiva Nikiyam, we'll discuss during the Shiva Nikiyam, a woman wears white underwear, right? But the truth is, we'll see that there were times that women wore all white, which means you walked out into the street and everyone knew that you were a Nida. So understand, because Hilchos Nida historically wasn't just about intimacy, it had many other ramifications. So as such, it was a different type of halacha. Today, because the only ramification of Nida is vis-a-vis a couple's intimacy, it has become a much more private halacha. So this type of question, Rabbi Osei, again, is not out of character. I'm not encouraging it, you know, but again, you know, this type of question was not out of character. It wasn't considered to be a dramatic breach of tznius, ultimately, because Hilchos Nida was different. So Rabbi Osei asked, otherwise, tell me, when your husbands come home, do they require you to do a bedika prior to relations? So va'amruli, lo. And the wife said, no, our husbands do not require us to do it. So I will say, this is very important, because here you have a situation where they were away for a prolonged period of time. Now, whether their wives, you know, were regular or irregular, vesas kavua, vesheina kavua, so that thing where it doesn't tell us. But lamaisa, what it does tell us is, even though the husband was away for a prolonged period of time, halach lamaisa didn't require bedika. So the Gemara says, by the way, v'lishailinu ledido, I will say, so the Gemara says, Rav Kahana, why don't you ask Rav Papa and Rav Huna? Why are you asking their wives? To which the answer was, listen to this, Dilma, inu kamach miri an afshayu. Because Rav Kahana was concerned that maybe they were machmir themselves. Maybe Rav Papa and Rav Huna were machmir. I will say, you know, sometimes when someone asks you a shayla, if you're machmir yourself, you don't give them the machmir answer. You give them the regular answer. You want to be machmir for yourself, that's absolutely fine. So Rav Kahana was concerned that if you would ask Rav Papa and Rav Huna, they would give him the regular answer, even though they were more machmir for themselves. Rav Kahana was interested in finding out what they actually did. Now Rabbi Osei comes an incredible Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Isha she'in la veses. Once you get ready for this. A woman who does not have a veses, a woman who is irregular. Asur l'shamish. She is prohibited to have relations with her husband. Rabbi Osei, I want to go, before we even start this is not halacha l'maisa. Right? Rabbi Osei, but again, it tells you again about the incredible struggle in halacha. So this is a woman who is irregular. Because she is irregular, so there's a chashash that maybe she's going to become a nida. So I'll say, a woman who doesn't have a veses, she is not permitted to have relations with her husband. Ve'ein la ksuva, and Rabbi will say, so obviously if you can't have relations, so the marriage is dissolved. Ve'ein la ksuva, and therefore again, Rabbi will say, he divorces her, there's no ksuva. Ve'lo peros, no peros. So I'll say, that would be again, that would be in the issue if halacha l'maisa, again, the husband used any of the peros of her property. V'lo mazonos, no mazonos, v'lo belos. So we'll say belos ultimately refers to when she comes into a marriage and she brings property, he could use the property. And anything that's left over from the property at the time of divorce ultimately goes to her. V'yotzi, and he has to divorce her. V'lo machzir olamis. And he is never permitted to remarry her. Rabbi Meir. So what Rabbi Meir says that you, essentially you can't be married to a woman who is a vesa shena kavua. You can't, because we'll say, what's the concern over here? The concern over here is that ultimately, again, he will come to be boel anida. Ultimately, again, he will come to have relations with a woman who is anida, and therefore such a marriage is unsustainable. We'll say, in general, we're going to see this, but in the eyes of Chazal, a marriage without intimacy is an unsustainable marriage that is no longer halachically sanctioned. For one simple reason, someone is going to get themselves into trouble in such a union. So therefore, Chazal said again, we'll see more of this a little bit later on. So therefore, Amir says, if you can't have relations with your wife, then at the end of the day, such a marriage is unsustainable. Rabbi Chanina ben Atikin HaSomer, Chanina ben Atikin says, calm down. Mishameshas b'shnei edim. No, there's a way to deal with this, right? It's just, we'll say this goes back to Shmuel's statement. It's just that what? If you're married to a woman who has a ves shena kavua, essentially, you're going to require a bedika before and after relations. Mishameshas b'shnei edim. Ultimately, so remember again, Mishameshes b'shnei edim means that ultimately, you have to be careful how you translate that phrase. Now, you know, I'll say, but ultimately, again, what it means is, the aid over here is the badika cloth, right? So ultimately, she uses one badika cloth before relations, one badika cloth after relations, and those ultimately tell us what is happening. Hein ifsua, hein tiknua. People say those edim, so to speak, those badika cloths will tell us ultimately, again, if she's tahora or if she's tamea. Mishum abachanan amru. So therefore, fundamental machlokes, ultimately, again, what happens with a woman who is a veses she'ina kavua. So Rabbi Meir says, unsustainable marriage, divorce her, no ksuva, no other. Essentially, what Rabbi Meir essentially is saying is, it's almost like a mekachtos, right? It's almost, the whole thing is like a voided transaction. It pretty much, you just reset the clock, everything goes back the way it was, and that's all. Rabbi Chanina ben Atikin says, no, it's just a little bit more complicated. She's going to have to do a bedika before and after every bia. So the Gemara says, Mishum abachanan amru, oy lo lebala. Right? So, woe to the husband of this woman. Asur l'shamish, so we'll say, the problem over here is, so if relations were to be forbidden, dilma mikalkelesle. Ultimately, we'll say, we're going to see ultimately again what Abachanan, who Abachanan is commenting on. So Abachanan says, woe to this husband, because it's going to be usher for him to have relations with her. Dilma mikalkelesle, because ultimately, again, maybe she'll become an Ida. Ve'in la ksuva, but she also doesn't get a ksuva. Kevan de lochazi labia, less like ksuva. So why doesn't she get a ksuva? Well, say because since this marriage is not one that lends itself to bia, therefore essentially it's a voided marriage, and therefore there's no ksuva. Velo peros, velo mazonos, velo belos. She doesn't get peros, mazonos, belos. Why? Tnai ksuva kiksuvdan. Because we'll say these are all what's called tnai ksuva. These are all right appendages of the ksuva. So once there's no ksuva, therefore there's no benefit of the ksuva as well. The Yotzi velo yachzir olamis. So we'll listen to this. Now, he has to divorce her and can never remarry her. So we'll say, so pshita. So of course, meaning, so I understand why he has to divorce her, because the marriage is unsustainable. And of course he can't remarry her. We'll listen to this. Lo tzricha, da hadra, va'atakna. We'll say, no. What's the issue over here? After he divorces her, she becomes regular. Right? She establishes a cycle. So I might have thought that after she establishes a cycle, she should be able to remarry her. You can't. I'll tell you why. I was listening to this. Ma'udatema. Lehadre. Kamashwan de zimnin de azlo min saba mutakna. But say, what are we concerned about? Let's say, but say, he divorces her. She remarries someone else. And after a second marriage, or by her second, she becomes regular. She establishes a regular cycle. And what could the husband say? Va'amar ilu ha'isi, the first husband. Va'amar ilu ha'isi odea shekach haya, afilu ha'isi nosnimli mea mana lo ha'isi megarsha. It was, we have a problem, right? What could happen? It was, if it was permitted for him to remarry her, so he could say, let's say, here's the case. Reuven is married to Rachel, right? Rachel is a veseshina kavua. So let's say, again, they get divorced. She marries Shimon, and she's regular now. Reuven finds out, and he says, oh, Had I known that Rachel could become regular, I would have never divorced her for all the money in the world. So we'll say that poses a significant get problem. Benimtza get batal ubanem amzerim. Therefore, Rabbi say, what do we do? When he divorces, Rabbi say, the truth is we do this in Gittin all the time. All the time. That Allah Kalamaisa, we say to the husband, you're divorcing her unequivocally. That even if some new piece of information comes to light, Allah Kalamaisa, you agree that you're divorcing her. That's why it says he divorces her, ve'ino machzir olamis. He is never permitted to remarry her. That statement means that essentially we tell him, even if she were to become regular at some later time, you still can never remarry her. Allah Kalamaisa, she's asura for you forever. So the Gemara says, Mishum Abachanan Amru. In the name of Abba Chanan, they said, "Ay lo lebala, woe to this husband who marries a woman who is a vesa sheina kavua." Shabbos says, "So who is Abba Chanan? Who is he commenting on?" Iked Amr Rabbi Meir, Amar le debayi laagbuye ksuvasa. Shabbos says, "So it could be that Abba Chanan is commenting on Rabbi Meir, but he's disagreeing with Rabbi Meir on one particular point. He agrees with Rabbi Meir that such a marriage is unsustainable, and therefore, Allah Chalamaisa, the husband has to divorce her. But he disagrees with Rabbi Meir on one point, which is Rabbi Meir holds that she doesn't get a ksuva. Abba Chanan holds she does get a ksuva. She does get a ksuva. If you look at the third white line in Rashi, Debay lag boi ksuva, haki kamarlei, at amrit in ksuva, anasiri, oilo lebala, shenechsam emonu, devadi ish ksuva. So Abba Chanan says, look, not only does this guy unfortunately have to divorce this woman, but he also has to pay her a ksuva. Igidam Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus kamarlei, others say that Abba Chanan is commenting on Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Dimikal Kelesle, Rabosai, ultimately again, could be what happens, that Ailo Labala, that even if Halacha Lamaisa, she's using a B'dikakov before and after, it's still possible that she may bleed during Bia. And if she may bleed, if she bleeds during Bia, ultimately, again, he has inadvertently gone ahead and had relations with Anida. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishmuel, the Halacha was Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Namely, Rabbi said that Halacha Lamaisa, if a man is married to a woman who has a Vesa She'ina Kavua, so Halacha Lamaisa, she has to do a Bedika before and after Bia. Ubimai. We'll say, what's the context? Iba Suka Betaris. If we're talking about a woman who's dealing with Taris, Hamra Shmuel Chadazimna. Shmuel already stated that Halacha Lamaisa, once she's dealing with Taris, then what? She'll do a Bedika for Bia as well. But if it's someone who's not dealing with Taurus, we already established that what? That a woman does not do bedikas prior to relations with her husband. Because as we already established, that Shmuel said that what? A woman who does not have a Veses is prohibited to have relations without until she does a Bedika. But yet we qualify that. V'ukimna ba'asuka b'taris. And we establish that ultimately again as a case, as where she is asuka b'taris, which is dealing with taris. So we'll say, so which one is it? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Enochinami, that is going to be the halacha. When Shmuel says that halacha Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, they will say, what does that mean? That a woman who has a veses she'ina kavua is going to be obligated to do a bedika. But when is she obligated to do a bedika? They will say, when? Only when she's involved in taras. If there's no involvement in taras, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, she is not obligated to go ahead and do a bedika prior to relations. We already said that before. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Man de masniha lo masniha. Rabbi say two different authors for two different statements. Rabbi say the way the parak ends is as follows: that halacha l'maisa, if a woman is osek b'taras, she's going to have to do bedikas. When does she have to do bedikas? Once in the morning, once in the evening. Once she is already doing bedikos for taras, then what? Then we're going to go ahead and make her do bedikos ultimately again before being with her husband. When is it, Rabbi Osei? Shmuel says, when is that true? With a woman she'in la veses kavua. With a woman who does not have a veses. But Rabbi Osei, when it comes to doing bedikos, just telling a woman is not dealing with taras. Ultimately, again, she's not dealing with taras. What about doing bedikos ultimately prior to relations with her husband? So we'll say it appears that Shmuel says the halacha is, we don't do that. We do not mandate bedikos prior to bia, assuming there's no taras involved. Why? Because again, as we saw before, Kate, we're nervous about we're nervous that if we mandate bedikos prior to Bir Nabosei. Now, what I will tell you, we don't have time because we have to stop for today, and we'll get to this later. What we do with a woman who is a Vesa Shina Kavua? What happens if a couple gets married? And Halacha Lamayis says she has an irregular cycle. What do we do in terms of relations for that couple? So we'll see that. We're going to see that there's Machlokas, actually the Rush and the Rambam dealing with that, about how to deal, but for our purposes, for today, Sahalocha Lemaisa, there is no obligation of Bedikos prior to a couple being together because of a concern that it'll erode the intimacy bond. The only time where that type of Bedika only comes up is when she's doing Bedikas Fataros, we'll make her do Bedikas Labaila as well. Hadron Alach, Shammai Omer, Bosei, Mazel Tov. We'll begin the new character tomorrow.